A number of years ago, I read an article by a man who had decided one Sunday evening that he was going to go to a church that he had never, ever been to before. And afterward, he wrote this. And he said, the only two words I remember from the entire three-hour service is hallelujah anyhow. And he said, it must have been because we sang the chorus of that song about 100 times. They passed the microphone around a packed auditorium, and one testifier after another recounted their hardships. My wife just left me and my car just died, but hallelujah anyhow. Another reported, my kids are on drugs and I'm running out of money, but hallelujah anyhow. And then they would bellow out the chorus yet again before the next lamenter found the microphone. So, does that message ring true for you? As I read this story, I asked myself, in times of deep sorrow and deep pain and deep loss, is hallelujah anyhow enough? Is it enough to simply say hallelujah anyhow, no matter what? Is that all there is to the Christian life, is whenever I encounter difficulty, to just say hallelujah anyhow and everything is wonderful again? Is this the way for us to do, as Paul says, to be more than conquerors, is simply to be able to recite hallelujah anyhow in the times of difficulty in our life? Is there more to the story than just that? Well, I happen to believe that there is. I believe there's more to the Christian life than just hallelujah anyhow. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we can't just deal with the struggles in our life simply by reciting hallelujah anyhow. I don't think it's a satisfying answer in any way, shape, or form. I don't know about you, but I've struggled in my life. I struggled in my life to somehow deal with this balance between the positive and the negatives of life. I've struggled with being honest with God when I'm in the midst of those difficulties. And then in a class in seminary, I took a class on the Psalms. And I came across this group of Psalms called the Lament Psalms. And at first glance, it would appear to be that, man, these are some of the most negative words in Scripture. It seems that all they're so sad and there's just so much complaining that's going on in them. And yet the interesting thing is that in the book of Psalms, there are more lament psalms than any other kind. So there's got to be more to those psalms than just complaining. More than just sadness and depression, because why would God want to be in his hymn book, the Psalms, why would he want to have more sad and complaining hymns than anything else? So God must be saying in that it's okay to be honest with God. That in those times of deep pain and sorrow, that it's okay to talk about that with him. He gives us so many examples of how to do that in these lament psalms. And one of the things, if you read the lament psalms, in fact, I encourage you to do it sometimes. Just put lament psalms in Dr. Google, and he'll tell you where they are, and you'll be able to have them and write them down. But read them, because what you're going to discover there is that the authors of the lament psalms are honest. In fact, they're not just honest. They are brutally, brutally honest with God. And as you study those lament psalms, I think that we find some principles for how can we be honest with God. And Psalm 13 that Ryan read earlier is an excellent example of what a lament psalm is and what it looks like. It models all of the elements. And if you read the lament psalms, what you're going to find is what you find in this psalm. Or at least generally. So in verses 1 and 2, we have the lament, the complaint. The complaint. Do you hear that? Complaint. It's okay for us to complain as long as we're doing it to God. And we're being honest with him. And then we see in verses 3 and 4, there's a plea for help. Help me, O Lord, in the midst of this. There's a statement of trust in verse 5 and a vow of praise. Now, again, not all lament psalms follow this exact same plan, but pretty much. And so as we look at this psalm tonight in this morning in our first message on summer in the Psalms, I want us to understand how we can be honest with God. And obviously the first one makes really a lot of sense. We're honest with God when we release our pain. We're honest with God when we release our pain, when we tell him, God, I'm hurting. This is tough where I am right now. And in verses 1 to 4, the psalmist says this, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Just listen to the pain in this. This is David writing. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O God. So again, what we see here is the psalmist is not mincing any words. He lets God know exactly how he's feeling in the midst of this, in these difficult circumstances. He doesn't hold back and say, well, God, you know, I'm a little bit troubled. Or no, he says, where are you, God? How long? How long? And I think if we're going to learn to be honest with God, that we have to be, ready? Honest with God. We've got to tell him what's going on in our lives. It may surprise you to know that he already knows it. It's okay for us to tell him. He already knows what's going on. We need to be open about what's going on the inside. Don't whitewash it. Don't cover it over. Don't minimize it. Don't deny it. Let's be honest. I am in a place of pain right now, Lord. I hurt. Now notice that the very first words in this psalm, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Now, let's understand something. He's not saying, on what date and time are you going to set me free? How long? It will be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a year, 5 years? He's not saying, how long is it going to be till I'm out of this? We have to understand that. He's not saying, on what day will you make me better? He's asking this. Why? Why, O Lord, is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this difficult time? That's what he's saying when he says, how long is why? Why, O Lord, do I have to suffer this? I've been your servant. I've walked with you for 40, 50 years, 10 years, 2 years, 3 years. I've walked with you. I've done my best to serve you. Why do I have to go through this difficulty? And notice this, that in those first three verses, he asks that question four times. Four times he says, how long, O God? Why? He wondered, has God forgotten about me? Has God forgotten about me? And in the scriptures, when it talks about God forgetting us, it's not a matter of a lapse of his memory. It's not like we come to him and he says, oh, yeah, what was your name again? Just remind me, I forgot. It's not like that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, even worse, it's not like God had a slip of memory. He's saying, God, you've turned away from me. You have turned away from me. You're not with me anymore. He wondered if God had forgotten him. He wondered, is God even on my side anymore? Is God even with me? These are questions of intense honesty. Have you turned away from me, God? Have you hidden your face from me? In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, one of the greatest blessings that you can pour on somebody is to say, May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And in this context, David is basically saying, not only is God not making his face to shine upon me, but God has actually turned his face away from me. God seems like he's hiding his face from me. And so David was going through some tough stuff. He felt like God had forgotten him. He wondered if God had forgotten. Have you ever felt that way in your life? As a believer, have you ever wondered if God has forgotten about you? I have. When our 10-month-old daughter had major brain surgery, I wondered, where's God? When our son turned away and turned away from God, I wondered, God, where are you? When my wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I wondered, God, where are you? When a church that I had huge dreams that I felt were from God, and that blew up in my face, I wondered, God, where are you? There were times in prayer and in my journal that I wrote, and I talked to God in ways that I found in the Lament Psalms as I studied those. I told God how hurt and disillusioned and discouraged and angry that I was. Those are pages in my journal that in some ways I like to rip out, because I was being brutally honest with God. But I'll tell you this, I believe that those prayers and those notes in my journal helped me much in the healing process. The reality of life is this, beloved, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, God reigns on the righteous and he reigns on the unrighteous. But the reality of life is that we go through times when we feel like David did, that God's forgotten about us. And it's important that we learn that it's okay to tell God what we're feeling, to tell God what we're thinking. I think the worst thing that we can do as Christians is to cover these things up, saying, oh, everything is fine, I'm all right. And God is saying, really? It doesn't look like that to me. As I'm looking at your life, and I'm looking at your heart, and I'm looking at your mind, you don't seem all right to me. I'd go so far as to say that God is waiting and maybe even longing for us to be honest with him. Jesus was. I mean, he was honest with God his Father. He lamented to him. In Mark 14, he says, my soul is sorrowful even to death. Remove this cup from me. And then as he's dying on the cross, he cries out these words that we all know so often. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned away from me, your son? And that is a quote from Psalm 22:1, which is itself a lament psalm. And so, friends, if we are going to deal with what happens to us in our lives, it's so important that we learn to take our pain first and foremost to God. Doesn't mean we won't talk to other people about it, but we take it first and foremost to God and say, I'm confused, I don't get it. So release our pain to God. But then the psalmist, David, goes on and he says that when we are being honest with God, we are being honest with God when we remember his character. Can you imagine a whole psalm of just going through sadness and complaining But crying out to God is not all that there is involved in being honest with him. So David uses this little word in verse 5, and he makes this kind of a shift from, oh Lord, how long? Then he uses this little word, but. But. I don't want my enemies to be exalted over me. I don't want people to think that you've abandoned me. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Do you see what's happening here, beloved? David didn't deny the reality of his pain, but he also affirmed that there's more to reality than just complaining. Yes, we complain sometimes, but we need to remember who God is. We need to recall his character. Yes, I'm in pain, but God, I haven't forgotten who you are. Regardless of how I feel, that I feel sad or angry or discouraged or hopeless or whatever, regardless of what I feel, this is what I know to be true about you. I know that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that you are always with me. I know that I can count on you. I may not feel that right now. My emotions may not say that. But I know this to be true. And with this word, but, David is trying to put life into perspective. He's been truthful about the difficulty of his situation, both within and without. And now he's truthful about the reality of God's character. Each lament psalm seems to focus on a different aspect of God. Maybe his righteousness, his holiness, his justice, whatever. Psalm 13 focuses on the love of God. That the one thing that we can remember in our minutes of deepest pain is that God loves us. God's love is the kind of love that doesn't quit, that never gives up. The kind of love that keeps on keeping on, that continues to work on our behalf regardless. Imagine this. He keeps loving us regardless of our worthiness, regardless of our performance, regardless of our circumstances. God loves us. God loves us at the highest point in our lives. He loves us at the lowest point in our lives. Something that is so hard for me to grasp, I don't know if I ever will, is that God loves me just as much standing here, sharing his word with you, than when I was living on the streets and sticking needles in my arms. And God loves me just as much now as he did then. Now, when I got saved, he got to lay off 12 angels, but he's always loved me. And that's so different than our human picture of love, that I have to earn it, that I have to deserve it. The psalmist saw no reason to hold back on their laments, but they said, neither are we going to hold back on our praise. We will be brutally honest about what's going on in our life, but we will be brutally honest about who God is. And here's another interesting thing. Is that they presented the tension between God loves me and I'm experiencing difficult things in my life. And they made no attempt to resolve that. And I think we try to do that. Well, wait. I'm a Christian. I work hard for you, God. I give lots of money to you, God. I love you, God. And we have to figure out reasons why. We want to try and understand why, if that's true, and I know that God loves me, why am I experiencing these things in my life? But you won't find a single lament psalm where the psalmist tries to deal with that tension. Not one. They just acknowledge it as a tension in their life. We love God. God loves us. but we also experience sometimes almost unbearable pain. And I think that we have trouble with that balance. I think sometimes we complain so much that we forget who God is. And we get discouraged and depressed, and we feel like we're in a hopeless situation. There's no way out. Or we focus so much on the awesomeness of God, which is a great thing to do. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying here. But we focus so much on the awesomeness of God that we don't deal with our pain. We don't talk about our pain. We just keep burying it and burying it and burying it. Because why? Because good Christians don't feel pain. Isn't that what so many of us feel? Good Christians never get down. Good Christians always smile. Good Christians never blow their stack. And so we keep burying that stuff that we think Christians shouldn't do. I think one of the favorite words that we use is the word interesting. So, what's happening in your life right now? Well, I'm going through some rather interesting things. God is teaching me some very interesting things. But we don't say, I'm in pain right now. Because we don't know how people will respond, or maybe we think that they'll think we're worse Christians than them, or whatever the case is. But we often try and keep that back. It's not an interesting time. Let's be honest, it's an anxious time. It's a scary time. It's a depressing time. But that's what we tend to say, or something like it, when we're going through these difficult times. And my challenge to us this morning is, let's not deny our pain. Let's acknowledge that it's there. Let's honestly describe how we feel. So we need to get those feelings out and lay them out before God and tell Him, God, I feel scared. Again, He knows it anyway. Or angry, or great, or happy, or sad. Let us recognize that it's possible to experience contradictory feelings at the same time. But let us not forget who God is. Let us not forget in the midst of our pain to also acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge His character. And I think if you're going to get through what it is that you may be going through or are going to go through or have been through, then you're going to have to be honest. Honest about the pain, but honest about who God is. And then finally, David ends off and he says that we are honest with God when we resolve to trust Him. Are we going to trust God no matter what our feelings say? You've already seen in verse 5 that David says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And then in verse 6, he says, because I trust you, because of that, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. When our daughter was 10 months old and went through this skull and brain surgery that I mentioned, I was angry. I'm going to be honest with you. I was angry with God. I had had a brain tumor, and I was healed supernaturally of it, and God didn't heal her supernaturally. She went through the surgery, and I was angry. And again, in my journal, I was writing, and I was saying, God, why didn't you make me go through the surgery and heal her? And it finally came to the point in time where I decided I couldn't be in the ministry any longer. I couldn't serve a God who would make a 10-month-old daughter go through surgery. I further decided that there was no God. And so not only was I going to leave the ministry, but I was also going to put my Bible on the shelf. And I was going to renounce God. In the midst of that, I was in prayer and again crying out to God, expressing my anger, my hurt, all those things. And I got that still small voice in my mind to simply ask this question. And I'm not saying it's enough for everybody who's going through something like what I went through, but it was enough for me. And it was just this: are you going to be God, or will you let me be God? Well, despite all the pain I was in, I knew that I wouldn't be a very good God. And so I surrendered to God. And I said, I don't understand what happened. And to this day, I don't, to be honest with you. But I'll let you be God. I will trust you, even when I don't understand what you're doing. And that's what we're doing. We're saying, God, I don't understand it. We're not glossing over anything. We're not pretending life is perfect when it isn't. But we're just saying, God, I am going to trust you. And so I would tell myself regularly, because do not think for one second that automatically all my pain, all my hurt, all my confusion went away. It didn't. But we just tell ourselves, I still don't understand, God, but I'm going to trust you. I believe you're God, and I'm going to trust you as God. I'm going to trust your plan or trust your love, even when I don't necessarily trust your plan or know your plan. So there comes a time, friends, as we're being honest with God and we're laying it out before him, when we're walking with him, that we have to make a decision. What am I going to act on? Am I going to act on these emotions, this pain? Or am I going to act out of my faith and my trust? See, for the most part, emotions are neither right or wrong. It's how we deal with them that becomes wrong or sinful. Ephesians 4:6 says, be angry and do not sin. So we can be angry and yet not sin. And in the lament, psalmists are saying this, go ahead and complain, but don't act on your complaining. Choose to trust instead. In Psalm 13, we're told that sometimes this vow of trust and praise takes the form of a song. And I have found in those times as to help build in terms of my trust and my faith is to simply be immersed in worship music. And sometimes if I'm alone, I even sing along because nobody else wants to hear that. And I just sing and I just listen to worship songs and praise songs because he says, I will sing to the Lord. And sometimes that in itself helps to do that, to act on that silent confession in our hearts. In James 3, 4, and 5, it says that the tongue steers us into a number of things, but one of them is that it steers us into obedience, just as a rudder steers a ship. James exhorted us how to do it. And the lament psalmist modeled for us how to do it. I have even on occasion written a lament psalm when I'm going through something. And I actually sit down and write it. It's not scripture. It's not inspired. But I just sit down and I say, God, and I write my complaint. And then I write who he is. And then I make a commitment to obey him. And so, beloved, complain to God. Feel free. He can take it. He's got big shoulders. But we also need to remember all that we know about him, that he's faithful, he's good, he's righteous, he's loving. And then finally, we need to say, God, I will trust you. Not my emotions, not my feelings, not my circumstances. But Father God, I will trust you. And we can use this to complain in the Spirit regularly, and God may well use it to bring us through difficult times. And so over the last number of years, 30-some years, 40 years, as I've learned to complain in the Spirit, I'm more convinced than ever that hallelujah anyhow is a dishonest way to deal with the difficulties of life. Instead, God wants us to be honest with him, and that honesty certainly includes complaining. So I'm encouraging you this morning, go ahead and complain, but do it the psalmist way. Do it in the Spirit.